This reading is from Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 33, and can be found on page 991 in the Pew Bibles. Jesus walks on the water. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me!" Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. And those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Other things. And he started to get fearful, yeah? He lost his concentration, absolutely. He lost his concentration on Jesus. And started to think about all the other things that made him feel very frightened. And then he started to sink. "Where is your faith? Where is your trust? Where is your concentration on me?" says Jesus. And that's the thing that we're going to be thinking about in a moment in the sermon. And you're going to be thinking about in your activities.
Well, good morning. It's certainly wet outside just at the moment. But it's good to be here. Let's just pray. Let's just pause for a few moments and just be still. Lord, we thank you for your word, which we just heard read to us. And help us now as we reflect on it and seek to apply it to our lives. Amen. Don't look down, hopefully. Yep, there's an image on our screen. Don't look down. If you were on a tightrope across a mountain range, would you look down or would you look straight ahead? I'm not quite that adventurous. 3 years ago this week, I was in Chicago for one of the conferences at a place called Willow Creek. It's a big sort of mega church in the States. And it was a two-day conference, but there was also a little bit of time to do the touristy bit as well. And in Chicago, I don't know if you know, there's a massive tower called the Willis Tower. It used to be called the Sears Tower, and it's got about 105 floors. And on the 99th floor... good job as a lift to get up there. On the 99th floor, there's something called the Sky Deck, and there's great views looking out all over the city, and you can see all of the high-rise blocks, and you can see across to the lake and all sorts of different things. And in recent years, they've put on the 99th floor, they've built this little ledge that juts out from the 99th floor, which is made of glass, reinforced glass. So you can actually go out beyond the normal confines of the building, and you can stand on this ledge and you can look down at what is beneath you. And you can see some people go onto that ledge and they're jumping up and down like we were in the song, spinning around, and they're all very happy and they're taking photos looking down. But for other people, they're there and they're stepping very tentatively onto this glass ledge, thinking that it's going to give way. And as they look down, they're filled with fear that they might suddenly find themselves down on the streets below. It's not much good if you don't like heights. Maybe you've been on one of those high rope bridges over a canyon, or been abseiling from a great height. And if you're feeling nervous in those situations, the best advice is don't look down. Have a look at this image, and I wonder what your reaction is. The next one, please, Ian. Just imagine you are that person standing on that little ledge, ridge. Looks more like a log, really, doesn't it? Looking down at the streets below. Well, actually, would you look down? Would you want to look down? I think if you just looked across at everything around you, you might be all right. But I know for me, if I was on that little platform and I was looking down, I'd be in severe danger of toppling over, and it certainly wouldn't be good for the nerves. Where do we look when we face challenging circumstances? Simon Peter is one of Jesus' closest followers, one of the disciples, and he's portrayed as a bit of a lad, really, in the Bible. And I get the impression of him as a bit of a thrill seeker. I could imagine him on the scariest rides at Alton Towers, or bungee jumping off the suspension bridge, perhaps. He's a bit full of himself, he's brash, he's self-confident, he's often foolhardy. He's someone who wore his heart on his sleeve and seemed to alternate from moments of inspiration to moments of desperation. One moment he was proclaiming Jesus as, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," a moment of great revelation. The next moment he's denying three times that he ever knew Jesus. As you read about him, you've got to love his impetuosity, even if it did get him into assorted scrapes. And so it's not surprising, really, that when Jesus comes walking towards the disciples in the midst of a storm, as we heard in our reading, of all the disciples in the boat, it's Simon Peter who leaps out of the boat and splashes around towards Jesus. And initially, he's very focused and determined. He's got his eyes fixed on his master. His fear of the storm is forgotten because there's nothing to fear with Jesus around. But then he gets distracted. He takes his eyes off Jesus. He's more aware of the wind around him. Perhaps he's looking down at his feet, wondering what's going on. He's paralyzed by fear. Peter, don't look down. He begins to sink and he cries out to his Lord for help. Just for a few moments, he loses his focus as circumstances get the better of him. It's Peter's equivalent of standing on a narrow ledge and seeing a vast city far below. All of a sudden, he's terrified. Now, to be honest, I've got total respect for Peter for leaping out of the boat in the first place. I think I'd be more likely to be with the other disciples, holding on tight, clinging on for dear life, the safety in numbers. But in Peter's example, there's something for us to reflect on and learn. How do we respond to the call to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, whatever our circumstances? Next slide. This is a verse from Hebrews chapter 12 in the Bible, verse 2. Let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Why should we? Joshua, as he grows up, will have all sorts of people looking out for him, and he already does. Parents, those who are going to be godparents today, grandparents, other family members. In due course, there'll be teachers, there'll be friends, there might be a life partner, work colleagues. Surely that's all we need to life. Surely that's what it's all about, just having really good people around us to support us and look out for us. But actually, Harriet and Dan, in bringing him to baptism, are saying, that's great, but it's not actually enough. They're inviting the church community to share in the love and care and nurture. But most importantly, they're also very much inviting God in. Because in our frail humanity, however much we try as parents or godparents or grandparents or life partners or teachers or whatever, there are times when we get it wrong. We do our best, but none of us is perfect. And it's only our Creator God who knows us like no other, who loves us like no other, and will be there for us like no other. And that, we pray, will be Joshua's experience. We pray that he'll learn to look to God and realise just how much God loves him. But it's not easy, is it? Because life can bring all sorts of storms and all sorts of trials. It's tempting to try and resolve situations through our own willpower, to rely on our own past experience, sometimes just to bury our heads in the sand. Sometimes in life we can get to our place of utter despair, paralysed by fear, not seeing a way forward. And fear's a funny thing, isn't it? It can cripple us, it can prevent us from moving forward, it can stop us from dealing with the past, and it can severely restrict our living in the present. But God's word tells us that perfect love drives out fear. And God's perfect love is seen in Jesus. And so we're called to look up to him rather than look down or look around us for other answers. We can have our final slide, Ian. Many of you will know the Indiana Jones films and Harrison Ford. And one of those films, The Last Crusade, where he's trying to reach the Holy Grail. And Indy fights his way through various tests before arriving on a narrow ledge over a canyon. And there's a massive drop below. Looking down won't do him any favours. It appears he has nowhere to go. But he steps out in faith, rather tentatively, but he steps out in faith. And an invisible bridge provides him with a firm path across the canyon. He didn't know what was there until he took his first step. And that's a powerful analogy, isn't it, of what faith is all about. It's about taking a first step. It's about trusting the God we cannot see. And the witness of many here today is that as we do so, God is faithful. There's a wonderful poem that some of you may be familiar with. It's a poem called Footprints, which reminds us of the fact that God is with us and God carries us through some of the most challenging times of life. It goes like this. One night I dreamed a dream. As I was walking along the beach with my Lord, across the dark sky flashed scenes from my life. For each scene I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and one to my Lord. After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand, and I noticed that at many times along the path of my life, especially at the very lowest and saddest times, there was only one set of footprints. This really troubled me, so I asked the Lord about it. Lord, you said once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the saddest and most troublesome times of my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you the most, you would leave me. He whispered, "My precious child, I love you and will never leave you. Never, ever, during your trials and testings. When you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you." Our prayer as Joshua grows up is that he'll allow God to carry him through whatever lies ahead. And perhaps for some of us here this morning, we just need reminding, or perhaps we're hearing for the first time, of a faithful God who sees us through, who's there for us. We can just go back one slide, Ian, to the third one. That verse from Hebrews that calls us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. That's not a one-off decision. It's actually a daily choice. Maybe you once looked to him and found strength in him, but have turned your back, ploughed your own furrow, walked your own path. Well, today, as we celebrate baptism and new life, is a good day to refocus. Don't look down, look up. Instead of being paralysed by fear and buffeted by the circumstances of life, we can put our hands into the hand of God and find our security and our hope and our salvation in Him. It takes a bit of courage in the first place, allowing God to help us, overriding our natural self-reliance. But it's a lesson we have to go on learning every day, as Peter did. But it's a road that leads us to life. That's what we'll be thinking about as we run the Alpha course in September. I do encourage you to think about coming yourselves or inviting a friend along with you. They might hear and be able to reflect on what it means to know God, to know Jesus as Saviour and Lord. Amen.